in looking over here at verse 5. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and the last part, thinks no evil. So if you really love with the love of God, you are not capable about thinking evil of people. I mean, even of the worst people. You say, oh, how can that be? Is that practical Christianity? Yes. Let's say that you're surrounded by all the negative things, right? And it's challenging your life. And think about it this way. Now, if I want to look for a fault in your life, in any one of your life, and I cross-examine you and watch you day and night like a hawk, do you think that in 3 months I can find something? Obviously. Maybe 24 hours. Right? Of course we can. Of course you can. And so every one of us have faults. And the most important thing is to know where your own faults are. Now I know where my weaknesses are. Should I confess to them, Lord? Oh yes, I say, confess. Let me tell you from my perspective where some of my faults are. One of the things that I have, which on all these things I'm dealing with, is I am someone who is either 0% or 100%. I do not have anything in between. When I do something, I either do it 100% or I don't do it at all. That can be a fault, you know, to many people. Because if I help a person, I help 100%. And I never stop helping them until, you know, they tell me, stop. or when I do something for the Lord, or when I do anything in any area, I do it 100%. So that if everyone around me drop off, you'll find me still doing that. Because that's one of my faults. I either do it 100% or I don't do it at all, 0%. I do not have any percentages in between. That has caused problems with many people, let me tell you, as they come to know me. Right? And another one of my faults that you may not realize because I have always been very sociable and nice to you, right, is this. I do not like socializing just to build rapport. It's not natural for me. And that is why I tend, you know, I seldom, you know, go around and, you know, say hello to all the pastors, you know. I only attend, you know, fellowships here and there when I feel, you know, when I could really justify it. And sadly, most of the time, I couldn't justify it because I do not make small talk. And that's one of my faults. I do not like to socialize just to build rapport. So that when I sit with a person, you notice I go right to the point in some things. Maybe a few sentences and then hello, and then I go right to the point, to some areas. So I do not, one of my faults is, I do not enjoy socializing to build rapport. And because of that, tends to be, you know, misunderstood. And in many ways, because I don't go to build rapport. You know, when you build rapport with people, and people hear things about you, they say, oh, I know him, right? But look, I don't go around and be in your good books all the time. You know, sit down and chat with you, play card games and Uno with you, Monopoly with you, right? And so because you are friendly to me, so when you hear something about me, you say, cannot be, you know, he just wasn't in my house, you know, all those things. So I don't do that. It's a fault of mine. I don't do that. So, working on some of those areas. That's an area that I'm dealing with in my life. And I remember I list down about 7 things. I list down those 7 things because I said, okay, these are areas that I've got to keep working on my entire life. And another third area that I have a problem in dealing with my own character in myself is I have a tendency never to share any problems that I face with anyone. I tend to just go to fasting and prayer and pray through. That can be a fault because some people want to help and some people want to understand, some people want to know. But I tend, whatever I'm facing, you have never heard, none of you have ever heard me complain. None of you have ever heard, even if I'm at the point, you know, and one arrow is piercing my right leg, one arrow is piercing my left leg, one arrow is piercing my hand, and then there's a danger of me just falling under the precipice or cliff, and then one leg hanging under there, and just hanging there. I still don't tell anyone. Say, let me fast and pray through all this. That can be a fault, right? I tend never to share my problems with anyone, because I just go to God and fast and pray through. Right? So sometimes people have to actually try to come near and say, come on, tell me, I want to pray with you, tell me. And I say, well, let me pray about it. And so that is a fault, right? That is a fault that I'm working at, right? Because I realize sometimes people like to pray with you and like to, you know, pray through those things. And fourth area that I do have a problem with, right? And so here am I confessing all my faults, and I'm going to list out all your faults after that, right? No, alright. And so, fourth thing, I feel this is good, so you can understand some of my weaknesses, right? In case when I'm preaching, some of you say, he's talking about me, right? No, I'm not talking about you. I understand in my own life where my own faults are, and I work at them. And another fourth area of one of my faults is that I tend to see a lot of visions and revelations all the time. I don't tell people about it, but they come off and on, visions here and there. And because of that, I sometimes tend to get lost in that spiritual world. And I'm just thinking about those things that I pick up in the spirit and seeing. So there's a tendency. The fault is that I tend to be a mystic. A mystic. In fact, if all you do is give me food and water and a Bible and say, would you like to spend the rest of your life in this cave? Say, thank you very much. I would take it, because basically I'm a mystic and I have a tendency to just get too absorbed maybe into that realm. And so these are some of the things, right? And so we are talking about our thought life. Now, you need to understand this. Because of some of these things that are part of my character and weaknesses too. It could be a strength, it could be a weakness. Remember, every weakness of yours is also a strength. Right? If you're a sociable person, opposite from me, it is your strength. But at the same time, it's your weakness. And because of that, I never ever have bad thoughts about people. You may find it unbelievable, but that's me. If I have anything against anybody, I would just directly deal with them. And if it's done and finished, it is actually finished with me. And sometimes I even forgot about those things. And even big things that people find hard to forgive. And because there is a measure of concentration that is a part of me. Now, that reminds me of another fifth fault that I have. I love to think, analyze, and I get impatient with people who cannot think, analyze, or see things quickly. I tend never to repeat it. I say, you can't get it once. And then the same way, when they tell me, I always say, just tell me once. You tell me twice, it's nagging. So, that could be a fault. And so because of that, I get impatient with people, and I forgot that when I deal with people, I have to repeat. I have to say it several times. I got to present it another 20 ways. So that they understand what's going on up here. What I'm trying to tell them. In here, in my heart, and in my head. And so that's the fault. But basically, up in my mind, I do not think evil thoughts of people. I do not entertain them at all. It's been my entire life, which is why I live my life in just forgiveness, just forgive and forget, and that's it. I have nothing against anyone. And so love thinks no evil. The love of God in your life is supposed to affect that every time, do you know that every time you have a thought, whether the thought came to you just when you were idle, or the thought came to you through the words of somebody, or the thought came to you through you reading something, or wherever those words came, when those thoughts come and they come into your mind, your conscious mind, you have a choice. You have a choice to accept or reject them. Now, good things and good thoughts, fine. Philippians chapter 4 tells us that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are righteous and holy, think on those things. Didn't Philippians 4 verse 7 tells us that? And so, we have thoughts that come to us. When they come to us, they are still at that first stage. Remember four stages. Thoughts, desires, action, and repeated actions become a part of your character. You begin to live in death. And so, the earlier you stop it in the earlier process, the easier. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take every single thought and submit it to Christ. And so when they're submitted to Christ, then you won't have the wrong emotions and desire. And then they won't lead you. Now, by the time you reach step 2 to 3, it is a very difficult thing to resist going the wrong way. Think about it. Because then you will be having what you call the common Christian struggle. I want to do it, but something in me doesn't want to do it. Or, I don't want to do the wrong thing, but something in me wants to do the wrong thing. Can you see the internal conflict? Where something in you is rubbing against another part of you that doesn't want to do. Right and wrong is rubbing, and right and wrong is living in you at the same time. That's going to be painful. That only happens when it's step 2 and 3. The thought has become an emotion. And an emotion constantly brings out even more thoughts. It's a cycle. So thoughts begin to form into a cycle. And so the cycle of thoughts become a habit. Do you know that we all develop habits? Habit as to when you wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth, do you brush it on your left side or right side? Right? Think about that. Some of you don't even think on those things, but you automatically brush your teeth a certain side first. Or when you eat your food, when there's a plate, do you eat it from the back to the front or from the front to the back? Or from the right to the left? You watch how people eat afterwards. And you see that displays part of their character in the way it displays part of their approach to life. In fact, they even say you could tell a person's approach to life by the way they peel an orange. Right. So, you know, So some people would peel it all the way nicely down, right? And always peel origins that way nicely, one big giant piece, right? They are artistic people, right? Even peeling orange, they want to make it an art, right? Other people, they just peel and throw, right? They're the practical people. They just want to get a job done and have that orange. And So the different ways we do different things, it makes us so different. Now just take your hands, your two hands up, right? Your two hands up. Put it together and just hold it together. Yeah, now hold it together. Right. Now, look carefully. Is your left thumb over your right thumb or your right thumb over your left thumb? Okay? Now, how many of you have your left thumb over your right thumb? Now, you can let go of your hands now. Your left thumb over your right thumb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, about 11 of you. And how many of you have your right, the rest of you must have your right thumb over your left thumb, right? Right, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else hold their hand this way in a funny way, like right exactly in the middle? You must be very unusual. Well, you have neither thumb over each other. Okay, so, obviously, now let me describe this to you. Some of us are more right right-handed than left-handed. Some of us use our left brain more than our right brain.